Our scripture today begins in John 9, of course, with Jesus and the disciples passing by the gates of the temple where they met this blind man. It is often taught that this occurred immediately after the previous scripture in time, that when you recall that Jesus had dealt with the people bringing the woman caught in adultery and asking who will cast the first stone. And then later, as he was addressing people in the temple, it says they were about to stone him, and Jesus passed through their midst. And the next thing we see is in this chapter 9, where they're saying that Jesus and disciples passed this blind man. I'm not so sure that these are sequential events, but if it helps you to think of that way, that's nothing wrong with that. It seems more to me that it's saying that they were casually walking by this blind man and noticed him. There doesn't seem to be any particular passion in the voice of the disciples from the writing of John. It doesn't seem to be any urgency or a sudden stop that causes them on their flight out of the temple to stop. That and the fact that he dealt with the Pharisees fairly peacefully, although argumentatively in the scripture, leads me to believe that there's time that has passed. I handed out this study sheet for you because this is such a long scripture and it's such a full scripture, and it is my hope that what you learn from the scripture will not be limited to what I preach about it today, that you'll take this and study it and benefit from it as well. The first thing we deal with is that this is a blind man. A man, we're told, is blind from birth. This is not at all like a man or woman who was seeing and lost their sight. This is a person who never had sight. This is a person who did not know what it meant to see. This man surely knew that there was something missing, that he had been told by his parents at birth that other people had this facility that allowed them to know what was around them and how people were shaped and what their colors were, but color meant nothing to this man. Shapes meant nothing to this man other than feeling, other than touching. But because of the strong belief that these types of afflictions were only caused by either the sins of the parents or the sins of the person, this man probably had little opportunity for touching others. He certainly wouldn't have been allowed into the inner walls of the temple where the other men went. He would have had to sit back where the Gentiles would have stayed, because he was considered, as we saw, not only by the Pharisees and not only by the people, but even by Jesus' disciples as a sinner. Because they said, was this man made blind because of his sins or his parents? Either way, they considered him a product of sin. But this man was blind, had no recollection of what sight was. And so I believe this man, in the teachings of John, in this gospel lesson, was a perfect metaphor for us to understand ourselves. and our condition before we know Jesus Christ. This man knew that he'd been told that other people have capacities he did not. He knew they called it sight. He knew they said they could see. And he knew that he could not see. He could not earn a living. There were no social service agencies or government entities that taught him and took care of him and taught him to fend for himself and provide him with funds. And so he was forced to beg. I'm sure that his parents or some friends told him that in front of the gates of the temple was the perfect place to beg, because there were people coming and going, bringing gifts, and their hearts would be softened through their belief in God and perhaps give him enough to eat, enough to have clothes. But the man probably didn't mourn not having sight because he didn't know what sight was. He didn't know what he didn't know. He didn't know what he didn't have. And isn't that just like you and I before we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? In fact, there are people who have graced the pews of churches and do today for centuries. People have gone to church and sat in churches that did not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they did not know what they did not know, because they had not been given this gift. And as the perfect metaphor, we understand that Jesus saw his condition and had compassion. And why exactly Jesus chose to make a mud from his saliva and the dirt on the ground and place on the man's eyes, we cannot know. It may well be that in God's plan, it was necessary that when the man received his sight, Jesus did not want to be standing there, so he sent him off to the pool of Siloam to wash the mud from his eyes. We cannot know God's plan. Jesus was compassionate towards this man and gave him sight. But when the disciples, of course, said, "Why has this man not had his sight? Was it his sins or his parents?" Jesus said, "No." So that it was done so that God might be glorified. In this world, we wonder why there's so many hardships. Why we lose a brother that we love. Why his wife has suffered from Alzheimer's. I wonder why my mother suffered from Alzheimer's. Why my father had to die young. Why my daughter had to suffer a disability. But we take comfort in understanding that while we may not understand the plan, we understand that there is a plan and that we are part of the plan. And if this life was only this life that we experience today, and if this life was only the short 50, 60, 70, 80 years or whatever we are to have, or 100 years, then that would be sad if that's all there was. But that's not all there is. That God's plan extends to eternity. God's plan extends to our eternal lives. And it's through that that we take comfort. And we understand that we are part of the plan. Nowhere in the scripture does the blind man stand there and express his anger for having had to endure blindness for all those years and suffered from this thing that he now realized how great it was, that he had lost in life, how much he had missed. Nowhere does it say express his remorse at losing all those precious years of sight. Instead, he expressed joy. The blind man went through stages. At first, he was used to doing what he was told to do. He was defenseless. He was blind. He was a beggar. He was considered a lowly, awful sinner. Jesus put mud on his eyes from his own saliva. He did not object. He was standing there with his cup out, hoping for a small bit of money that he could buy food. But instead, the man put mud on his eyes. And he was told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did. He was called by Jesus and he obeyed. And he received his sight. And the metaphor continues as a Christian who has found the Lord. When this man came to his friends and neighbors who saw him now seeing, they said, "Is this the man? Is this the one we know? This person who sees, is this the blind person?" Some said, "That can't be him." Others said, "It looks like him. It can't be him. But it looks like him." Some were probably a little afraid of him. Don't you know that when a person has lived in sin and without the Lord's salvation for many, many years and receives the gift of grace, receives that salvation from Jesus Christ, is born again and is saved. Don't you know that many people will say, "Well, who does he think he is?" I can tell you, I have some friends who said that. Some people I went to school with, some people that I had partied with, some people that I had traveled with over the years, I'm sure that they had some nice sideline conversations. Who does he think he is? Bill, a preacher? Are you kidding? We can replace that name Bill with almost any name in there of a person who was saved later in life. A person who had strayed. A person who had wandered away from their Lord. And people would say, "Who is that? It looks like them, but it can't be them." Now, the blind man is a perfect metaphor for the person who has received Jesus Christ and knows him for the first time, and suddenly they see what they had not seen. They know what they had not known. It wasn't a child that Jesus gave his sight to. It was a grown man. We heard the parents say, "He's a man. Let him speak for himself." For they did not want to be thrown out of the temple. They did not want to be excommunicated. As it turns out, their son was. He was excommunicated from the Jewish faith. When they say he was thrown out, that's what they meant. They didn't just throw him out of the physical building. They excommunicated him from the faith because he professed to believe in Jesus. I was also amazed as I read and studied the words of this blind man who said that, you know, that it's known that no one could do these works except that he is with God. No one could do this. It's never been done before that someone who's blind from birth has been given their sight. This is a person who only religious training probably only came from his parents. The other people feared him, for he was a sinner. He was deformed. He was defective. He was lumped in with all the cripples and the lame and the mentally challenged people of that day to beg, to try to survive. So Jesus didn't come to him as a boy. He came to him as a man. So another part of the metaphor of this man, this blind man being given his sight, is it's never too late. It's never too late for one to receive the good news, to answer the call, to receive the light. It's never too late. The Pharisees questioned this man. In our verse 23, it says, or 15, I'm sorry, the Pharisees began to ask how he'd received his light. He said, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see. I was blind and now I see. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. With your eyes closed, listening to Scripture, does the Scripture take on a different sound, a different meaning? I sometimes listen to recorded Scripture just for that purpose. Because sometimes when I read Scripture over 20, 30, 50 times during the course of a week, I start to just kind of skim along the top. This blind man received his sight and his life was changed. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we answer the call, when we confess our sins and ask our Lord and Savior to receive us, to accept us, to use us, Our lives are changed. This man was a beggar. He now has his sight and he must work for a living. He has to find work. His life is totally changed. This man was alone. And he's no longer an outcast. Well, he is in his religious community, because he's been excommunicated. But what a joy to be put out in the name of Jesus Christ. And so this man, when Jesus found him after he was put out of the synagogue, was not mourning. He was praising Jesus. He was worshiping Jesus. Again, an excellent metaphor. For when we receive Jesus Christ, and when we, even more so, when we truly decide that we are going to live changed lives, that we're not going to listen to the gossip, that we're not going to listen to the off-color jokes, that we're not going to sit through a movie we shouldn't be watching, that we're not going to sit there and listen to somebody talking or reading things that they shouldn't be reading, then we're not excommunicated, but we're certainly shut out. And if we're never shut out, then we may want to question our faith. We may want to question our obedience. Because if we can go along and get along and live along in the way that we did before we received salvation, maybe we're not living the faith. It may not mean we're not saved, but it certainly would mean that we're not walking with Jesus Christ, that we're not obeying. I once was blind, but now I see. Jesus Christ is calling us. Jesus Christ is calling us to open our eyes, to put our trust in Him, He's calling us to change our lives. This man's life was changed. He was a beggar. He must become a worker. He was hopeless. He now has hope. And even in being excommunicated from his temple, he's found God. He's found his faith. Even being shut out from our friends, we can find God and find salvation. And during the course of that, lead our friends to a knowledge of saving grace as well. Jesus talks about seeing and hearing so much in the scripture of John and throughout the other gospels. So many times, if you go through your Bible and put a little mark under every time he talks about seeing or hearing in the Gospel of John, you will be amazed at how much he talks about this. Yet everybody in this room can see and everybody can hear. And almost everybody around Jesus could see and could hear. But he says, spoke of these words because we see without understanding. And we hear without perceiving. So I pray to God each day that he will open my eyes, that he will open my ears to truly hear his word, to truly understand, that his word will guide my life. And I encourage you to pray to God each day that he will open your eyes to truly see what he has planned for you. Not for you as a group, not for you as Tomahawk Church, not for you as a Presbyterian, not for you as a Christian, but for you personally and individually and uniquely. What plan is in his plan for you and for me? And we give praise in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.